Hello and welcome here on Startup.io. My name is Vlad Andreescu, and today we're going to talk about investments and about a milestone from Underline Ventures, who closed the fund at 20 million euros. And I have the pleasure of having with me Bogdan Iordache, general partner of Underline. Bogdan, nice to have you.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
So last year we talked when you launched the fund. You mentioned this target of 20 million euros. You reached it. So I'm going to start by asking you to tell us more about how is it to raise in this climate?
It's hell. Raising nowadays, it's quite difficult, especially because we focus on raising only private capital. I think raising from institutions, if you fit their profile, which was not our case, makes things slightly simpler, but definitely there is a lot of selection on that side as well. The fundraising climate has definitely deteriorated since 2021. The drop in valuations on the stock markets, the high inflation, this looming global crisis that it's not yet started, but it's sort of affecting everybody's plans, have definitely put a lot of pressure on whoever is fundraising right now in venture.
So when you launched, you had, I remember, almost 10 million euros raised. Let's talk about this process. You mentioned it was hell. What kind of people have you attracted to reach this target? Because you mentioned that you have founders, operators in the ecosystem, and as you said, you didn't rely on institutional funds. So what's the profile of your investor?
One thing here to address: we've closed at $20 million. The previous closing was slightly above $10 million. We announced 10 million, nevertheless. The vast majority of the money that we have raised come from angels and founders and operators from the technology world, be it people from product companies or from outsourcing companies. We've had quite a few liquidity events regarding service companies in Romania in the last years, and that has been a source of capital for us, and I can only assume it was a source of capital for multiple other funds that are raising. So that's one. We had a really good momentum. We managed to attract capital from these people with whom I've been working for 10 plus years with some of them, so it was sort of easier, I guess. But then if you look at the larger investment ecosystem in Europe, we've talked to over 50 funds in Europe, and the large majority of them, even though they take calls and you discuss with them, etc., they don't actually have money to invest. They don't really have active funds right now. So there is a crunch at the fund-to-fund level, at the European level, that is quite significant, and it's a big blocker for new funds to come on the market now. We've been lucky. We had some commitments since early 2022. And I think we've managed to sign with this fund five or six fund of funds from like internationally from Spain, Czech Republic, Germany, Greece, and some other countries. So that was it was just a really good outcome for us.
But is it this cycle or a symptom of what you mentioned, that the fundraising process is slower right now, and also the fund of funds have issues in raising capital?
Yeah, I think you know, the reasons are there are multiple reasons. So first of all, generally the fund of fund industry in Europe is quite limited compared to the one in the US. And the major players that play a significant part in the US, like the university endowments, pension funds, all these players, they are not really active in Europe. So that's, you know, you start with a weak position already. And then I can only assume that some of these fund of funds, they have deployed massively in 2020, 2021, when many, many European funds were started. And it looked like, you know, the European venture was taking off. So that was a really good moment of optimism and significant capital deployment. And then the funds invested at what I think are, you know, higher valuation than normal, but definitely below the US valuations. And that made a lot of the investors in fund of funds to reconsider their priorities going forward. So that's the second element. And then the third one, I think, is just this a lack of interest of what I would call, you know, old Europe money to invest in technology. I mean, I know a few situations where significant family offices are rather investing in US venture funds rather than European venture funds, because the brand names in venture are mostly American. Even though generally the EU venture market has outperformed the American venture market, the big brands still deliver, let's say, consistent returns, or at least predictable returns, if not consistent. So it's a multitude of factors. Definitely, I think the European fund of fund industry is quite in sort of a crunch like right now.
But regardless of the difficulty of raising money, do you see an advantage in having with you at Underwrite? You mentioned that you have founders, that you have product people from companies, from the IT industry. Is this an advantage because you have sort of like-minded people around you in Underwrite Ventures?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an advantage because I believe people understand very well what is the dynamic, the opportunity, and the risk of a venture fund. So that's one thing which I'm very comfortable with. And then it's quite a big advantage for us as a fund in terms of leveraging that network to evaluate new deals, to connect portfolio companies with potential customers or distributors or just experts in different areas. So yeah, I think that's, if anything, I think that's an amazing advantage, because we have been able to use our LP base and to activate our LP base for the benefit of our founders.
So going to the portfolio, because The last year has been active for you. I would name some of the investments that were announced, video-wise, GoodRigger, Nestor, Viridian. But you made roughly 7 investments, if I'm not mistaken. So
7, yeah.
Tell us more about the others we don't know, and you can talk about them.
Yeah, so we finalized 7 investments. We are now in the process of finalizing an 8th one. We've already sent an offer for the 9th one. So I think we're going to keep on being busy by the end of the year. Apart from the ones that you mentioned, we have also invested in Turneo, which is a Croatian-based startup. We have invested at pre-seed stage. Great couple of founders, really good experience in travel tech. They're building an experience platform for hotels that can use it to enhance the experience of their guests. And they are already active in multiple countries in the world. So we are very proud of them, doing a great job. And then we have invested in Sera, which is an agri-tech startup with a significant climate impact. They are digitalizing the operations in greenhouses, allowing them to be much more efficient in the way they manage their crops and significantly increase their yields. Sera is a Swiss-based company, but 2 of the 3 founders are Romanians. And with our help, they developed an R&D office in Bucharest. So that's also a good outcome, I would say, for them and for us. Apart from the 2, there is 1 more which is not announced at the moment. I can only say it's a cybersecurity company that is doing really well. And I think that would be about it. That's what I can say for now.
We heard cybersecurity, agritech, travel tech. The other ones are e-commerce, AI, HR tech. There are a lot of verticals here. What is the common point?
I mean, we like great founding teams who have deep insights into what they do. So I think that's a start. We have some areas of interest where we are taking a closer look, like enterprise automation, cybersecurity, climate tech, even AI, obviously, and even defense tech nowadays. Industrial tech is also of interest. But the core element here is that we are looking for founders with significant expertise in what they are doing, who are building a global company, developing a product that is amazingly useful for its customers. So that's the common pattern.
But are you looking differently at startups right now because the ecosystem is a bit more complicated right now? As you mentioned, valuations are lower. Is it different than 2022? This process, because it's hard to explain for outside people the basis is you're looking at great founders. What does a great founder mean?
Yeah, I keep asking myself the same question. I think. Let me answer your question in 2 parts. So the easy one, how are we evaluating these companies differently than in 2021, let's say? I think you're just going to be much more aware that the next round may come slower or in different terms. So with every company, you should have a sort of a backup plan, if maybe they're not growing fast enough to raise the next round, what's going to happen, just to be aware of that. then I think generally burn rates need to be kept in control way better. And even at the earlier stages, it makes sense to connect them a bit more with revenue, which is not necessarily something that you would have done a number of years ago. And last but not least, there are some use cases which are way more difficult to be financed in this economical environment, because you would, for example, with marketplaces or like with mobility related marketplaces, you would need capital to reach operational efficiency at a Series A, Series B stage. And that's just like, I just don't see that happening right now. You have to prove that you are capital efficient way sooner. If you can't do that, it's quite difficult to attract money. I mean, that's where we are right now. And, you know, those are some of our concerns. Now, when it comes to... But the fundamentals are still there. The fundamentals are still, you know, investing in a company, in a team that you think they are building something exceptional for a large market. And coming back to what an exceptional founder is, so venture is not like math. There is no, you know, universal equation to evaluate a great founder. And many times the truth is in the eye of the beholder. So depending on the expertise or the personal experience of an investor, they can evaluate you positively or negatively. It's a subjective judgment. So I can't give, it would be too pretentious of me to think that I can give you an universal answer. But from where I stand, I appreciate founders who have, again, really deep insight into what they are building. So they've worked in that field for some time. They have tried to solve that problem maybe in different ways. They have interacted with the customer multiple times. They have worked together as a team for a longer period of time. They are great operators. They understand how to implement what they want to build. And they are able to, you know, run a team and just make everything happen, because that's an area of activity where no investor can actually help you. If you can't build a product, there's no investor in this world that can build a product for you. And in the same time, understand the industry at large well, and have a vision around where is this industry going and what's going to be your place in that industry. So, you know, is this a lot? It's quite a lot. But that's the way it is. I mean, there's no other way. And you, regarding the investments that we've done, I mean, I just want to add one more thing here. Yeah. One common element among almost all these investments is the deeper technical nature of them, because we have investments in data platforms, in AI, in cybersecurity, and even, for example, Nestor, who is a HR tech solution, has quite a significant data level below the hood. So that's also a differentiator for them. That's one element. I think I've come to realize that it's probably sort of related to my background as an engineer, and the fact that maybe it would be cocky to say that I understand better, but I definitely appreciate more the more technical stuff on the investment market.
I'm just testing a hypothesis here. And it's like, I tested it also at HowToWeb with other investors. Are founders from this region, Central and Eastern Europe, better prepared right now, because they usually do not have a high burn rate. They usually are careful with money than, let's say, startups from the West. I will not say startups from the US, because there is also another VC ecosystem there. It is somehow an advantage from startups from this area right now?
Yes and no. I mean, definitely it's an advantage being able to deploy capital more efficiently. On the other hand, and this is indeed something that Eastern European founders have done for decades, because that was the only way to go. On the other hand, capital for Eastern European founders may be more difficult to attract than for Western European founders, even if those companies are going well. And that may be a challenge, because at the end of the day, in venture, you are playing the game in order to build some really big companies. If one of our investments gets sold for, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 million, it's nothing, giving the enterprises. So I'm, you know, the jury is still out on this one. We have to see how easy it is for the best Eastern European companies to attract Series A's and beyond. And we have some really positive proofs, right? You have, for example, FlowX raising a record Series A out of Bucharest, and there are some other good Eastern European companies who have raised Series A's in the last year. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
What's next for Underline, also in terms of future investments, but also in terms of the current portfolio? Because you mentioned that the path is slower right now, and we know that the path to another round of investment, to a Series A, is way slower right now.
I mean, for us, it's business as usual. So, fundraising is done, thank God. And now we have even more time to further develop the venture company. We've added a number of people to our team in the last year to develop what we are calling our platform for the founders that we have invested in. When we started, it was me, Vlad, and Julian. And since the beginning of the year, we have full-time Adriana, who's helping our founders with all sorts of com projects. Then Ioana, who is helping them with recruitment services. Mihai Faur, who's helping them on the financial side. And then, obviously, Vlad plus Ioana, the other Ioana, who are helping them with advice regarding growth. And then, you know, having all these LPs from the technology world, we are trying to leverage that in order for our founders to get access to the best advice regarding whatever they need. So we're going to put more effort into that for the next period of time, and just be sure that we get the maximum outcome that we can get for the founders in our portfolio. Apart from that, it's business as usual. So as I was saying, we have 7 deals done, one in process right now, and one more offer sent, and we expect to do maybe one more deal by the end of the year. So we are looking, as ever, for, you know, really good startup projects, and I would be more than happy to do more investments. I guess, you know, the focus going forward is going to be to just do as good as possible, our investment and platform plays?
Sort of from a personal point of view, 1 year after launching Underline, how do you like it? Is it something you envisioned differently? Is it where you wanted it to be?
It's definitely what I wanted it to be, but this is not the where we are right now. It's not the end goal. There is a lot of work to be done. I think we're going to do a lot of exciting things in the next 2 years. The fundraising element of it has been way more difficult than I have expected. I'm glad we've ticked this box. I mean, it's not a victory in itself, but it's definitely a relief that we can now focus on working with startups, which is why I have started Underline.
I know there's still a lot to do with this fund, but are you envisioning also the next fund?
Sure. We are already planning for that. I mean, in practice, it makes no sense to start fundraising in less than 2 years from now, probably. So right now, it's just a plan. But I definitely want to do things in a manner so that we don't have to go through what we've gone through in the last year or so. I think you know, making things a bit simpler for the next one would be amazing. Although I'm not sure that's possible, but we'll see.
But I know that we're talking about 2 years from now minimum, but the plan is also for this seed stage for startups, or are you looking one step further?
No. Definitely no. I mean, this is what I know. I think I know to do really well. So my focus will continue to be on pre-seed and seed. I do not want to invest at Series A, because at Series A there is just a very different game, and that's not where my expertise lies. So I would not be able to help or support founders in any way. That would be it would not be a smart idea.
Bogdan, thank you very much for all the details. Good luck. And let's see a lot of interesting startups coming from your investments.
Yes, thank you very much. And also, I'm looking forward to some follow-up rounds in the next year.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening or watching us on our YouTube channel. You can read more on startup.ro. Thank you very much.